Chochess 7, 22nd of June, Rabbi Alon Anava, Life After Death.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Alon Anava. It's a pleasure to be here. I was asked to share a little bit about my personal story, how I became religious 16 years ago. Now, since the story is usually, the lecture is usually a 3-hour lecture, I'm going to have to really zoom through a lot of the details very, very fast. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll be able to get some of it out. So without further ado, a very short introduction. I was born in Eretz Israel, and I was born in the most secular family in Israel.
Wow.
I didn't celebrate any holidays, no Kiddush, no Shabbats, no nothing. Not only that, I was brought up to literally hate religion, hate the Kadosh Baruch Hu, hate the Torah. I'm sure you're aware and you met some of these Israelis. That's how I was, Hashem Erechem. When I was 23 years old, I left Israel to live in the United States. And when I was 26 and a half, on a very special day, was a Shabbos, was the 14th day of Nisan Yudalit, Nisan, the morning of Pesach, I suffered what's called a near-death experience. I had cardiac arrest, my heart stopped, and for 7 minutes I was flatlined. And in those 7 minutes, my neshama went out of my body, went on a tour in the heavens, and turned around and came back. Now really the experience is very, 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 very long with a lot of details. But it all starts in New York. I'm in a party. I feel extremely, extremely ill. I literally feel like I'm about to die. I leave the building, I go into a taxi. I'm starting to choke. I open up the window to see maybe some fresh air will make any difference, and suddenly the whole world froze like a picture, like you're pausing a video, and all that's running in my mind is that I know that I'm about to die. I know I'm about to meet this famous God that everybody was talking about, and I know I have a very serious problem, because it's the first time in my life that I realize that I'm coming up there empty-handed. I don't have a mitzvah. Now, at that time in my life, I was very, very wealthy. I had a very big company, millions of dollars, everything that a person can dream of, I had. I thought I'm on the top of the world. And it's the first time that I realized that my car is going to be staying in the driveway. The millions are going to stay in the bank. Everything that I acquired and achieved in my life is nonsense. And the only thing that I can take with me, I don't have. I don't even have a mitzvah. I don't even know where it came from. I cover my eyes and I say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And as I'm with Hashem's name, not Hashem, as I'm saying, Shema Yisrael, I fall down on the girl that is sitting next to me. I feel like I'm leaving my body, diving out of my eyes. I wake up in this weird place where I don't hear anything. Complete silence. I don't see anything. I don't feel anything. I feel that I'm like a cloud, I'm air, I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere, there, no body. And there's no time. I don't have a watch, I don't have to be anywhere. I'm flying in this place of nothing, an unbelievable feeling. The silence was amazing. Being weightless was amazing. And the concept that there's no time, and I don't have to go anywhere, was more amazing. As all this is happening, I still was having my thoughts. And I'm thinking to myself, what's going on? What happened? What is this place? So this voice is answering me and telling me, you died. This is your death. And it's kind of pointing down. Now there wasn't a hand, there wasn't eyes to see it. It's kind of like I understood, kind of like in a dream. And I look down like this, and I see my body on the girl in the cab. I'm like in the height of like maybe this ceiling, glued to the ceiling and looking down. And I see everything from above. And I'm like, that's how I die? And the voice is confirming, yes, this is your death. That's how you end your life. And in a shocking way, I'm like, that's how the story ends, just like that? I didn't think I'm going to die like that. And the voice is saying, yeah, this is your death. And as this is happening, which I don't know if it's a second or a minute or 500 years, there's no time, I feel like something is holding me from above and pulling me. But very, very subtle, very, very soft, and I feel like I'm going higher and higher and higher. And the higher I go, the more I see from below. And it was in Manhattan, it's in a cab, the car is driving in the streets, I'm like a magnet. Wherever the car is going, I'm going. And suddenly I feel like I dive into this girl's body that my body's on, and within a split second I see her entire life from the moment she was born till that day. And I'm in her body. It's not that I'm like sitting like this and I'm looking at a scene and a movie. I'm in her body, so I'm thinking her thoughts, I'm feeling her feelings, I'm feeling her emotions. And I see everything in her life, but not in an order like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like a mishmash. No order in the time. And I see a little step into the future. I'm in New York, and I see how they're telling my parents in Israel that I died. And I see my parents crying, my sisters are crying. Now, as all this is happening, I'm going higher and higher and higher and higher. At some point, the car is going under like this little bridge. I was so high up, I go into the bridge. And suddenly see, I like calling it the graphic design of the world, but really what I see is what is called Dvar Havaya Mechaye Et HaOlam. Everywhere that I look, I see thousands and thousands of letters. Letters of Lashon Kodesh.
Letters.
And it's an Otiyot of Lashon Kodesh. Everything is just letters. And I'm able to read the letters like a code, and I'm understanding what I see. I don't see the world how we see it, with a shape and dimension and colors and shades, like a sheet of code, like it's kind of like a Sefer Torah, just letters. And I understand everything that I see. The cars continue going, and I'm going higher and higher and higher, like a balloon with helium that you let go and it starts going up to the sky. At some point, I'm like the height of maybe 30 floors. I'm flying over the city of Manhattan. And at this point, there's no physical structure. So I'm going through the buildings. There's no walls. And the same way that I saw this girl's life, I instantly see thousands of people in these apartments, and I'm relating to everything. I can hear their thoughts, feel their emotions, feel their feelings. Thousands of people, like as if I'm standing here right now, and I know all of you, what you're thinking, and every little detail of your life. Thousands and thousands of people. Now, this part, up until this point, was unbelievable. What I'm saying up to now is like maybe a fraction of really what I saw. But everything is positive. I'm seeing these godly revelations that the biggest producer in Hollywood can't even think of. But within a split second, I feel like something grabs me. And in 1 second, everything changes. I wake up in this pitch black place. I don't see anything. I don't know where I am. I don't know how I got there. All I feel is like something is grabbing me, like 100,000 kilos is on me, squashing me. Unbelievable pain. And I don't know where I am, and I don't know how I got there. And I feel that this thing that is holding me is like pulling me through a funnel. And the entire walls of the funnel are full of blades, and it's like ripping pieces of my neshama. Literally, it looked like I'm going through this tunnel, this long, long, long tunnel, but all the walls of the tunnel are built from angels, from malachim. Every act that I ever did that created an angel is built, forming this tunnel. And I'm going through there, it seemed like thousands and thousands of years of suffering. Every angel, every act that I ever did is just waiting there. And it literally feels like they're scraping my neshama. After thousands of years of being there, that it seems like a thousands of years, I suddenly like figured out everything. I understood where I am. I understood where I'm going. I knew I'm going to the worst place in the world. And I understood that the only thing that can get me out of it is Hashem. And the reason why I suddenly understood everything is because in the world of Av, there's only one reality, and that reality is called Emet. And in this world, we face two realities. Emet, truth, and a reality that is called a lie, Shekel. And most people in this world, they know how to create this reality of a lie. And as long as you don't say that, that's the reality. So in this world, we have two sides to the coin. And unfortunately, many people, they hide behind the side of the lie. And we're all like lying to each other. But in the world above, there's no such a reality. There's only one side to the coin. That is emet, truth. So everything is obvious. You can't bend the corners. You can't hide behind any lie. So I understood and I knew everything. Who I am, where I am, what's holding me, where I'm going. And I knew I'm going to the worst place in the universe. And the only thing that can get me out of that is Hashem. Now this whole period, literally, I'm not exaggerating, felt like billions of years of suffering that there's no words to describe. That it will take me 2-3 hours to describe every little detail. But at some point, I see this dot of light, this microscopic dot of light. Then this light is started to come closer to me, and closer to me, and closer to me, and the closer it gets, the bigger it became. Till at some point, all I see is this bright white light. And I know behind this light is the master of the universe. No questions. And it literally felt like as if something grabbed me from this light and pulled me in. Instantly, when I got pulled in, I only found one way how to kind of describe it besides unbelievable pleasure, not normal pleasure. It literally felt like I got connected to the master of the universe, to a source of data, and instantly, endless amount of information was like given over to me. Instantly I was a genius. I knew every detail in the universe. Like as if you walk into a library with 100,000 books and with a blink of the eye, you know the whole books inside out, backwards and forth. And this was unbelievable pleasure. But with this information came another detail that was even more amazing. It's like as if I saw a panoramic picture of the entire world from the day it was created till the last day. One long panoramic picture, genius master plan of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Every detail in the universe made sense. Everything was connected to each other and was brilliantly designed. Unfortunately, as this is going and I'm seeing this unbelievable wisdom and I'm feeling this unbelievable pleasure, I feel like I'm stuck in a bubble. And I can't grab anything. I feel this unbelievable torture. And it's like as if they're telling me, you have no connection to this place. You got to go. You can't stay here even. And I'm being ripped out of this place, thrown into this huge room. I find myself in this huge black room, standing completely naked. Not naked from clothes, there's not a body. Naked from mitzvot, I don't even have a mitzvah. Around me, I look around me, all I see is millions and millions of eyes. All the souls of all the Jews of all generations are standing there like a ring around me, looking at me. And I'm totally transparent. They see through me. Every thought that I ever had, every word that came out of my mouth, every action, every little thing that I do, they all know. They're all looking at me. And the feeling was unbelievable shame. Shame that I didn't know what to do with myself. The torch of coming there was nothing compared to the shame of these millions of souls looking at me and knowing everything that I did. Worse than that, it felt like the entire room was full with the presence of Hashem. You know, the Zohar says, there's not one place in the universe where the Kadosh Baruch Hu is not there. There felt like everything is Hashem. And the worse, it literally felt like I'm standing like this, embarrassed, and I knew that if I would lift up my head, I see the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, I wasn't afraid to lift up my head. I was embarrassed. It felt like I broke Hashem's heart. Like as if Hashem was telling me, what did you do? I sent you down to the world with a list this long of things to do, a list this long of things not to do. Everything I told you to do, You didn't do. Everything I told you not to do, you did. There's no words to describe this shame. It wasn't fear, it wasn't pain, it was shame that was like melting my neshama. And I knew they're about to take me to the next room, and I'm begging them, please, please, leave me here for eternity. Just don't take me there. Sure enough, they take me to the next room. I know I'm in a courtroom. I know I'm about to be judged for everything that I ever did. I don't even know where I had the nerve. I kind of like look to the left, and I see like rows, battalions, thousands of these angels, like prosecutors, like these categories. Everything that I ever did, thousands of them. I don't even know where I had the chutzpah. I look to my right, and I see two senegorim, two angels. One is crippled, the other one is blind. And they're telling me, you want to start? You want to say something before we start? What's to say? At this point, they're showing me the movie of my life. In a very weird way, they take me back, put me back into my body. I'm in my body. I relive my life. But in a very weird way, I'm like standing outside and I'm looking at myself. And I see my life review very, very slow. And everything is pointed out. Here you stole. Here you lied. Here you cheated. Here you cursed. Here you said lashon hara. Here you pushed. Here you shoved. Every thought that I ever had is on speakers. Everybody's hearing it. Millions of souls are standing there. Every person that I ever stole from is standing next to me, screaming at me. Every person I ever lied to, they're all standing next to me. I can't hide, and everything is pointed out. They didn't forget one thing. At some point, they were trying to lelamed zchut, to say, okay, you must have something good. They took all the good things, they put it together. They show me, okay, you were circumcised, okay, we'll give you one mitzvah. When I was 13, my grandfather put tefillin on me. Okay, you put tefillin on, here you have another mitzvah. They show me how once a dollar fell out of my pocket and a hungry person picked it up and bought something to eat. They told me, we'll give you tzedakah for that one. One time you smile to that person, one time you help that person, one time you did this. They put everything together and they're telling me, Habibi, I'm sorry to tell you, you are a lost case. You have 99.9 bad and 0.0 nothing good. There's nothing even to negotiate here. Literally at this point I felt that that's it. I'm kaput. They're telling me, listen, you are really a lost case, but we're going to give you an option. One option, you go back to this black thing that bought you, this Malach HaMavet, that comes to rip the neshama out of the body. You go back to him. He's going to finish the deal. Or you go down to this world. If you choose to go down to this world, you have three conditions. First condition, you have to live your life like a Jew. Now they don't tell me what's a Jew. They don't tell me Sephardi, Ashkenaz, Satmar, Lubavitch, Bobov. They're telling me Jew. Why? Because how they look at the Jews above, how Hashem sees the Jews, we're all 100% equal. They don't care how long your jacket is, if your hat is going like that, the hat is going like that. In Shammai, a Jew is a Jew. Now when I'm asking them, but what do you mean to live your life like a Jew? They're showing me a movie of my life forward. I see my entire life forward. I see myself with this long beard. I see my wife. I see my wedding. I see all my kids. I see my entire life forward. And they're telling me, that's how you have to live your life. And don't come back here after 120 years and say, I didn't know. Nobody told me. Nobody sent me to yeshiva. They tell me, you see, these are the rules. You can't bend the rules. You can't add rules. You can't remove rules. These are the rules. The next condition is you have 27 years of debt. So today is your lucky day. From 0 to 13, we wipe it all out. From 13 to 27, you have 14 years of debt. You stole, you have to give it back. You cheated in business, you owe that person money. Go pay that money back. You hurt somebody's feelings, go and apologize. You can't just put a yarmulke on your head and say, that's it. No, you have to rectify everything that you did in the past. And the third condition is that you have to tell every person down there what you saw up here. You cannot go and live on a mountain and segregate yourself from the world. Now, I wasn't really in a position of telling them, you know what, maybe give me a day or two to think about it. Maybe I'll consult my two crippled attorneys, and maybe I'll get a better deal. I'm like, where am I signing? When are we starting? When's the next bus going down? They're telling me, listen, you got to think very well, because you cannot come back here again and tell us, I didn't feel like it. I didn't want to. I didn't believe. That's not a mitzvah. That's the rabbis invented. These are the rules, you accept, that's it. Needless to say that I accepted the deal, and it literally felt like I'm shaking my hands with Hashem. The second that I accept the deal, it felt like Hashem punched me so hard, it literally felt like a train hit me. And the second that I feel this impact, it wasn't pain, it was impact. It's like as if Hashem pushed me back into my body and my eyes open up in this world. I wake up in a hospital, lights above me, doctors poking me, pulling me, talking to me. I'm completely, completely out of it. Totally, totally out of it. The only thing that's going on in my mind is that I have to do a mitzvah. I have to do a mitzvah. I don't even know what's a mitzvah, but I chanting in my mind, I have to do a mitzvah. The amazing thing is, this whole thing happened on a Shabbos morning. Now at that point, I had a friend who started to become frum. And every time he would see me, he would tell me, you want to put tefillin on? And I'm like, no. I call him up, Shabbos morning, he wasn't so religious, he picks up the phone, and I tell him, Itzik, you gotta come now, I gotta put tefillin on. He tells me, what? I told him, Itzik, don't ask any questions, just come with your tefillin. Now you have to understand how I looked 16 years ago. My body's full of tattoos. My face was full of earrings and piercings. Long, long hair. And I tell him to come and put tefillin on me. So he tells me, it's Shabbos. You can't put tefillin on. I told him, who cares what day is it today? I need to put tefillin on. He's like, he says, but it's Shabbat. I told him, what are you, technical Shabbat, not Shabbat. Mazav Shaneh, what does it matter? So he convinces me I can't put tefillin on, so I tell him to take me to a synagogue, I gotta do something religious. So he tells me, why don't you come tonight, it's Pesach. It's Mel Seder. I said, oh, okay, I'll do it, that sounds very religious, what do I need to do? That night, I lived in New York, that night he takes me to Borough Park, to a very, very, very religious family, for my first Seder in history. I never did Mel Seder. Needless to say that I'm totally shocked with what's going on there. But I don't remember one detail from what happened. What I told you now was literally 1% of the entire event. 2 weeks later, I don't remember one detail. I'm really zooming through details. I was in a hospital. I took time to recover. I'm just skipping all sorts of details. To get to the point that 2 weeks later, one night, I'm about to fall asleep. 2-3 in the morning. Suddenly everything wakes up. All the memory, all the scenes. I wake up in the middle of the night screaming, sweating, shaking. The girl that was with me in the cab, that my body fell on her, is sleeping next to me. I wake her up in the middle of the night, remembering every detail that I saw of her life. I start asking her, did this ever happen to you? When you were 6, that happened to you? When you were 7, that happened to you? Every little thing that I say, she confirms. And I literally thought I lost my mind. I totally thought I lost my mind. And she tells me, how do you know? And I didn't want to tell her how do I know. I thought that I'm going to tell her, how do I know? She's going to think I'm crazy. In my mind, I was like, if I'm going to tell anyone what I told you, they'll think I'm completely crazy. What is my option? Okay, my other option is to go to the religious people. Now, in my mind, I didn't have a good opinion about religious people. I thought they are crazy. You know, I grow up, I see a group of people, they all behave weird, all sorts of weird things, swinging chickens over their heads, and I'm going to go to them. They look crazy. So I call my friend Itzik and I tell him, tell me, Itzik, how do I become Jewish? What do I need to do? So he tells me, oh, there's a lot of things. I told him, okay, so give me a few things. So he tells me, you have to eat kosher. Kosher? What do you eat? He's like, it's not what you eat, it's what you don't eat. I said, okay, what don't we eat? He's like, you can't eat meat and dairy. I was like, that's it. Okay, no problem. No meat and dairy. That's it. I'm Jewish. He's like, no, there's a few more. You can't eat all sorts of animals that you like. I said, that's the whole thing. A diet? No problem. I'm certified. I'm Jewish now. He says, no, there's a few more. So then what now? He's telling me you have to pray. Pray? When do we pray? On Yom Kippur? He's like, no, every day. Every day? He's like, yes, three times. Three? One is not enough? Okay, what else? Anything else? He's like, you gotta put tefillin on. I'm like, what are we looking at? He's like, you put it in the morning. I said, how long does it take? He's like, 5 minutes. I was like, how much does it cost? He tells me a couple $100, I'll get you a nice set of tefillin. I was like, really? Only a few $100? So give me two. Then he tells me, wait, you have to put tzitzit, you have to do this, you have to do that. I told him, Itzik, I told you to tell me a few things. I didn't tell you to go into details. Long story short, I buy a pair of tefillin, a tzitzis, a sidur. I pack my bags, I leave New York, I move to Chicago, where it took me about 2.5 years to start slowly, slowly getting religious. I couldn't do anything. You know, one of the first things that I started doing, I read in the sidur in microscopic letters that when you leave the bathroom, you have to wash your hands and you have to say Abraha Asher Yetzar. I bought this cup. Every time I left the bathroom, I would wash my hands 3 times, say the bracha, and I thought I'm the tzaddik of the generation. I was like, nobody in the world washes their hands with a cup, with hands, and says a blessing. But really, Baruch Hashem, it took me about 2.5 years to slowly, slowly change myself. Till Baruch Hashem, I went back to New York, I met a very special rabbi who I actually was the first one that I ever told the story, who could not understand in my mind why I'm not in yeshiva. He sent me to Monsi. I went to a yeshiva with Baruch Hashem within a couple of months. Saturday was already totally from. And the rest is history. And since then, Baruch Hashem, for the last 12 years, I've been traveling around the world sharing the story. And Baruch Hashem, that's where I am now. So, really the point to take from this story, and what I told you now is a very, very, very short version of the story. You can find the story online. I mean, I came here with hundreds of CDs, but we went to the schools the last couple of days. They took all the CDs. But the story can be found online, the full version of the story, on my website. But the main thing to take from that is a lot of people, they live, first of all, many people live without even knowing that something's waiting out there. It's literally up to us, the people who know, to educate the ones who don't know. Because when we're going to go up to Shamayim, they're going to ask us not how many times I chazered my Gemara. They ask me, who did you go to wake up and to tell them there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu in a Shamayim? Did you turn to somebody that's far away from the Torah and try to mekarev him? To tell them there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's a Torah, there's Yom Adin, you're going to go up one day to Shamayim? So we have a responsibility of Bnei Torah to wake up the world, to do Kiddush Hashem, to show the world how beautiful the Torah is. That's not how I saw it. And when I grew up, unfortunately, the Torah and Hashem was presented in a very not nice way. We have a very big responsibility to the world to show who we are as the children of Hashem and how we have to present the Torah with Ahavat Israel, with respect to each other, with fulfilling the mitzvot, with excitement, with love. We are Hashem's ambassadors. We carry ourselves, and the eyes of the world are looking at us and saying, that is a frum Jew. He's representing the Torah. No cheating, no lying, no stealing, honesty, integrity, kindness, charitable. We have a very huge responsibility, and Bezrat Hashem, we should fulfill it. So we'll be able to get much more souls closer to Hashem. Bezrat Hashem, we should hasten the redemption. We should see it very soon with our own eyes. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful, beautiful day and a beautiful rest of the week.